Hello and welcome to another episode of Let's Chat with Shell Griggs. I am your girl, Shell, and I am here to continue and end the saga of Carl Lentz and my first episode of the year of the season. I talked about Carl at length and the sins of the church and kind of what allowed him to do and move the way he did. In this episode, I kind of want to get more into kind of the people that helped him make this happen. So I do want to, before we get into it and buckle up, Buttercup, it's going to be a ride. I do want to warn you that if you are, if you have a sexual assault trigger, if you are, if there's anything like that, spiritual abuse, anything that may trigger you, I would recommend that you skip these episodes because they are going to get into some details and I think some very frustrating things for someone who is a survivor of a sexual assault. And as a matter of fact, that is the reason why there's been such distance between the first episode and this one. For me, I spiraled a little in depression because of some of the spiritual abuse, sexual abuse, and among other things that I've experienced. It kind of sent me into depression. So if that is you, beloved, I would really recommend that you take care of yourself and you protect your mental health and maybe not watch this or listen to this. Watch, I'm suggesting, because there is an actual show on HBO Max and I could only watch it in doses and I had to watch it with my partner and I had to be really, really still in those moments and be really honest about what was triggering me and what hurt me. And so to revisit this now is very difficult for me, even through the therapy, even through other things that I've experienced and just my mental health exercises. I still have to be very cautious about getting too involved in these topics. So if these are a trigger for you, I do want to say maybe sit these episodes out. For those of you who are committed to stay and listen to this, this is definitely still in the vein of true crime and I want to get into it. So let's start, pick up where I think I left off in my last podcast, which is kind of who's been complicit with Carl. So first and foremost, I do want to say that I have read Carl's wife's response to this. So her response to Carl's actions is kind of like saying that people left them alone and they were... Let me read it so you guys can get exactly what she said in her words, because I hate when people paraphrase me and get me wrong. Make the inference you want. I'm going to read it, tell you what I got from it, and then you read it and then take what you get from it. Carl's wife's name is Laura. And this is what Laura wrote on social media. She said, "I've looked for at these palm trees every day for the past few months, and there are so many symbolic meanings to these amazing trees. A few that have resonated with me during this season of my life. They are strong, can weather the biggest storms, and they always grow upwards. Freedom, righteousness, reward, resurrection, just to name a few. I have taken the time away from social media because it was not good for my soul. I've blocked and deleted more people and comments than I can count. Trolls are cowards. Some Christians, quote unquote, are anything but kind, gracious, or loving, but that won't stop. That won't stop me from growing upwards and getting stronger. I have learned a lot about myself over the past few months. Now more than ever, I know the kindness of God, His grace, forgiveness, and strength. I have found true friendships. The ones that have been with me on the mountaintops are the same ones who are with me in my darkest valley. I will not forget who abandoned us, but I choose to keep my heart free of bitterness and remain thankful for those who have stayed and loved us. I don't want to judge others, nor do I want to be judged. One thing a friend told me during this time is I would rather be accused of being too gracious towards someone or being accused of judging someone too harshly. I want to be known as a woman who sees good in people and truly loves people unconditionally. Hashtag you can only change you. Hashtag love wins. Hashtag grow upwards. You know what's interesting about that love wins hashtag? It's been used by the alphabet mafia a lot. So that's an interesting choice, but that was a choice. That was a choice. So when I talk about, when I get off into this and what Carl has been accused of, it's not like Carl has been accused of just adultery. Adultery is a sin that is not only, it's committed against the spouse, but it's also illegal in a lot of ways and can lead to a huge divorce settlement if the other person can prove it, which there's proof all over the internet, let's face it. But I think the deeper things, the things that concern me, because I'm not upset about Carl cheating on his wife. And let me tell you this, that's her choice. That what happened in that marriage was between those two people. And one thing I've learned as a child of divorce is that you never know what broke that relationship up. And so it's not your place to sit in the seat of judgment about a person being committing adultery. And people will be more mad at Carl for committing adultery than they're mad at him for the accusations of power dynamic rape and sexual assault. And I want to get off into two things that are kind of being overlooked by the church. One thing I think the church is overlooking is the fact that this is power dynamics, right? He is in a position of power. And the way they talk about how he demanded his physical distance from people, how he would get in, preach the message and leave. Nobody could talk to him. But then he meets this woman and he's like all in her grill and like taking her phone and putting his number in there. It's like, this is giving someone who's not been used to being told no. And because he's not been used to being told no, for whatever reason, we can say it's white privilege. We can say it's white wealthy privilege. We can say it has everything to do with him being a person who feels that he is above the law. And when I think about this and I hear, the immediate red flag for me is when people start talking about being judgy. Because God did not command us not to judge. He said, judge not, lest ye be judged. And I think the other component of that is that we hold off judgment on anything because we think God is condemning judgment. When he's saying, don't judge people for things that affect only their lives. I'm not here to judge Carl for the adultery. I'm here to be a voice of truth and speak truth to power, the way Jesus always did. And the truth to the power and the truth of the matter is Carl was from a very young age in a position of leadership. He used that leadership to get and manipulate women into doing what he thought was right. Whether it be to push them into some weirdo chastity belief system that he had, or whether it was to manipulate them into accepting sexual assault and weird sexual behavior. He has a long history of just being creepy with women. And it's not just him being creepy. It's not like the guy at, you know, Walmart, the Walmart greeter who makes you feel uncomfortable. This is a person who holds authority in a large, massive church. This is not somebody who's just your regular run-of-the-mill type of person. And everything that they're describing, these women in their reports and the way they describe him, even from the accusations of people who have full-on been sexually assaulted by him, sometimes which they accuse him of it, his children were there. So it's like he's so comfortable with doing creepy things, with doing wrong, with being a bad actor, that he does it in front of his children. So there's a level of delusion where I don't think that he thinks he can be judged by anybody, not even God. And I say that because if we live our lives in a way that God will judge us, a lot of the things that we do, we would never do. If you thought God was going to get on you for gossip just as bad as he gets on the person for using drugs or being a homosexual, you would really, really curb your level of judgment. You would really, truly curb gossip in your life. You would really eliminate that. But it's because people feel like God won't judge them for things that he very clearly told us not to do. Whereas the things you judge people for on the daily basis as a Christian, maybe they use drugs. Oh, they're a homosexual. Oh, you know, they're a single parent or whatever high horse you're riding on. When you see somebody that you feel that you are spiritually better than, I think that if you looked at that the way God sees all sin, because all sin is equal in God's eyes. So if you see something as a sin, just know that what you're doing that you think is like a small sin or a little white lie or whatever you have convinced yourself of that it's not as bad as, God sees it all the same. So a lot of us, our problem is not that we don't see that there is some wrong in us. It's that we quantify the wrong by thinking that we exist on a spectrum of good and bad. Like, I'm not as bad as the worst person I know, but, you know, I'm only human. And that keeps us from being accountable to being like Christ or Christ-like. So it holds us at this, no, I'm human, but oh no, I'm not as bad as that other human over there. So I'm somewhere in the middle. And the problem with thinking that everyone thinking that they're in the middle is that no one ever thinks that what they're doing is a sin or that it's wrong or that they will be judged for it. And our Bible very clearly says judgment starts in the house of the Lord. And I think it's so interesting how we never view ourselves like that. We want to compare ourselves with the world and start judgment outside of the church so that we can hold on to the things that make us feel better about ourselves than others. I don't try to justify my actions because I know that there's no justification outside of Christ. Nothing that I do on this earth, I will have to answer to anybody but to Christ. Unless I do like a lot of these men and women have done, which is break man's law. And then you gotta be accountable not only to God, but to man too. You gotta go to jail. And if you don't believe me, you better ask Jim Baker. You better ask men who went to jail for playing games like, oh, well, this is a sin, but, you know, I'm me. I shouldn't have to be accountable for this. I am a white person. I am a man. I am a person in authority. Whatever the case, I'm a woman. I won't ever be called out for creepiness or, you know, it's endless the way we think of ourselves as these well-intentioned, good-intentioned martyr when it comes to facing the actions of things that we have done. But it's so interesting how we want other people to live by this crazy impossible standard. Carl set this crazy impossible standard for women. They couldn't breathe in the church that he ran. They couldn't, you know, exist in a safe space. But yet he was still very creepy then. He was still doing inappropriate sexual things then. The accusations of adultery and creepy sexual and inappropriate behavior go way back. They're not just starting now. We are just finding out about it because someone was motivated to make Carl look bad. And I think that's a deeper conversation that we can get into a later episode. Maybe if we revisit the Hillsong thing, but I really want to get off into other things because there's so much. As I started to do my research for this podcast, I realized there is so much stuff going on in the church on a massive scale, like Hillsong and Carl Lentz, and on a macro or in a micro scale, like in local churches, where people are using the name of God to get away with heinous acts that God would never be okay with. And I think that this is an injunction. This is a shot. This is a cry in the wilderness to say, like, we have fumbled the bag as the church. As the body of Christ, we have fumbled. And I think it's because there are so few true believers and so many so-called Christians. that we are able to live our lives in a way that we don't stand up for victims. Her statement, Laura Lentz's statement, it implies that we are somehow judging Carl as if, you know, Carl isn't guilty of a lot of different things other than adultery. Her statement would be true in the light of this man just committing adultery. It's not true in the light of this man sexually assaulting their nanny in front of their children. It's not true in light of all the accusations that have been brought up in the past about him and the things he has done. It's not true in the light of the sexual power dynamics that he used to gain access to these women and ultimately rape them, because power dynamics, rape is a thing. You are literally in the position that King David put Bathsheba in, where she couldn't tell him no. She could not tell that man no. And a lot of times we feel like if no one's holding a gun to your head and the person is engaging in this act with the other person in the position of power, that they wanted it. Oh, they wanted the fame. And, you know, it's so easy to paint the women or men that are victims of this as they're gold diggers. They're seeking fame. They're clout chasing. But we fail to remember that these people are called to a higher standard. And if they're called to a higher standard, it doesn't mean that they're above the law. It means that they are very much subject to it. And they get even less leeway in God's eyes than anybody else does. Because he tells them how ministers are going to be held at a higher standard because of what he has called them to do. So if you're called, that doesn't give you an immunity suit. It actually puts you in the hot spot with God. But because people have taken leadership and made these people above reproach, even though God doesn't make them above reproach, they have so disaligned themselves from God's plan and God's will that it's insane. And so you have people who are moving through their lives in a way that is like, it's like they think that they will never have to see God about what they have done. They think that they will never have to answer to God for this impossible standard that they hold up for everybody else. But yet somehow the impossible standards that they hold up for everybody doesn't apply to them or their children or their loved ones. And it's so interesting to me that someone like Laura Lentz would go around and say, well, you know, judgment for so-called Christians, when you were by his side, ma'am, the whole time. You were fully aware of the accusations. And I'm sorry, if it walked like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a freaking duck. And you have been with a man who years and years of accusation, even if you didn't know explicitly that it happened, there's something that goes off in me. You get accused of rape once. I might. And having my past sexual abuse history, my own run-in with rape, that's the end. But I might be able to forgive a youthful accusation of rape if there is no evidence to it. It becomes a he say, she say thing. But if you get accused again, sir, and again, and again, and again, again, the way Carl has been accused of years and multiple occasions of inappropriate, creepy, rapey, sexual assault behavior, you are fully aware who this man is. And you have had ample opportunity before you had children with this man, before you made a life for yourself with this man. I think she, and it's not to blame Laura Lentz for choosing to stay in this marriage, but I think her motives are not altruistic. I don't think her motives are all the way good. And the reason why I say that is because, ma'am, it only takes one time for my man to be accused of rape before I'm out. And I don't care who he is. He could be the Pope himself. If he is accused of rape or sexual assault or inappropriate sexual behavior towards women, I'm out. There's no excuse you can give me. There's no amount of buying flowers, taking us on vacation, keeping up appearances that can ever be accepted for me to go ahead and bow down to the image of you being this perfect figure and me keeping up appearances. And I was so floored by all of this because when I first started this journey, I'm like, dang, I don't know what she knew or if she knew. And then I realized like multiple people on multiple occasions have accused Carl of the same thing. And she's been playing her role of the complicit wife. She's been allowing it for years. She's been okaying it for years, whether she comes out and publicly says she's okay with it or she sits silently by while her husband's being accused of this. Ma'am, I would be the one to provide the evidence if I had it. If I thought my man was doing something horrible, I'd be the first to call the police. They wouldn't have to call the police and then I just come forward. No, I would have come forward first and then everything else would have clicked into place. Because how dare you sit idly by and know that this person is living in this evil space and very much are accountable for his actions. But then you sit there and you double down on that and talk about judgment and fake Christians and all of this other stuff that you're trying to imply, resurrection, redemption. If there is no repentance, there is no resurrection. There is no redemption. I'm so sorry. There's no repentance on her husband's end. There's never been a moment where he came forward and admitted to the sexual assault on the nanny. The only thing he admitted to is things that have been caught. He been caught doing, like actually with irrefutable evidence, because he was silly enough to make videos of himself talking about things he wanted to do sexually with a woman that wasn't his wife. That's the only thing he admitted to. But the other documented things that have evidence but have been covered up by the church, he has also covered up. So there is no actual repentance in this man. And because he's unrepentant and you know he's guilty, you're complicit with his behavior. How dare you? And it never dawned on me how deep some people are willing to do to keep up appearances until I was talking to someone and they were like, yeah, because certain people believe in keeping up images more than they care about anything else. So as long as we can still spin it and it can still look good, as long as I can still be your wife and be seen in the spotlight with you, as long as I can still, you know, get the wealth and the respect and the reverence of other women and the support. You're so awesome, Laura. You're amazing. You're a godly woman. All these things that people are telling you, girl, you better wake up. Like, and I mean this to everybody who's been complicit. Everybody who knows that someone's who a little bit creepy in the church, everybody who knows that, okay, this person has been accused 17 times of child rape or molestation or inappropriate behavior with teens. I mean this to every single person. You better wake up. You're just as guilty as that person. And I don't care if you just suspect it. That is why there is no penalty for you if you accuse someone, if you bring up suspicion of rape or inappropriate sexual behavior, and there's a no retaliation clause in a lot of the laws, because you're doing what you're supposed to do. If it don't look right, you're reporting it, and that's what you're supposed to do. No one's saying that she has to full on divorce her husband without evidence, because that would be me. If it happened too many times, if I got that rape, the second time that rape accusation come through, there's no evidence. That would be me. I would have to leave you alone. But I'm not calling for people to do that. I'm saying that when you see something, you need to report it. And your due diligence is legally, you're bound to report it. And if you don't believe me, you better look up into churches that have gotten caught up because someone raped someone and they didn't report it because they thought they were doing the right thing by handling it internally. There's no right thing by handling it internally. When it comes to matters that break man's law, if you don't report that to the police, you're going to go to jail and you could be legally held responsible. Not only that, you're going to be spiritually held accountable for sure. But I think the legal aspect should be enough to scare most people into staying out of jail and reporting what they need to report. But honestly, people think they can play this game. And Oklahoma is one of those states where they were like, absolutely not. There was a rape at one of their mega churches there. And they thought, oh, we'll deal with it internally. And the court said, absolutely not. And we're going to make an example out of you, because next time someone comes to report rape, you dang well better report it to the police. You better. And if not, you're going to go to jail for even longer than that they were on probation. So when you start to think about how the courts are not playing with these people, the courts are prosecuting, the courts are taking people into jail. Brian Houston is now in, I think he's in a legal battle, allegedly, for allegedly doing these things. All this stuff with Carl is alleged. We're going to say alleged so we can keep ourselves out of legal mixtures. But all this stuff is alleged. These people are being accused, and there is a lot of evidence to say that they have done these things. But they still have to have their day in court. And regardless of what you think, oh, girls are sometimes fast and loose, or, you know, this little boy, he was wearing those tight jeans, so he deserved. I don't care what you think, how you feel about it. If you know that somebody has done something that they have no business doing and you're complicit, you're going to go to jail too. When it's revealed that you knew, you can be legally held responsible for that as well. And you should be, as well as you're going to be held by a higher standard by God, because you were complicit with harm of someone else in the church. And it doesn't matter if there's kind of like this court judicial system to try to handle these kind of offenses, because they're inadequate. The law says that if you violate it, you're subject to penalties, and you can go to jail and you can be fined. And you should be, because I don't think that the response in the church has been adequate enough in these kind of matters where it involves spousal, domestic abuse, and situations of child abuse and sexual assault and power dynamics rape. The church's response has been underwhelming, and I don't blame the courts for getting fed up and saying, well, now we have to step in. We can no longer trust individual churches or the church as a body to respond well to the crimes that are being committed. So we have to now step in, because these people are not just citizens of the church, but they're citizens of this nation. And we're going to hold you accountable. And I absolutely agree with them. And I think that people who are complicit with anything that they know is sin and they keep it going should be held accountable. They should be held responsible. So yeah, the saga continues. I think in the first one, I was just kind of like in denial that his wife could know. But as I began to read and research more, I realized that she knew, and she knows, and she gonna stick beside him, basically, is what she's saying. That's mine, I'm gonna stick beside him. And that's her response. And to me, I think that's so interesting, because I hate this phraseology. It couldn't be me, because in overwhelming majority of the time, it could be you. But when I think and listen to this and just seeing where I am now, I don't think it could be me. But you guys, this is a discussion. It's an open discussion. I just think that there are some very clear things that have been done that are like, no, this is what it is. And so, yeah, this has just been an interesting journey in finding out all of the things that have been done and perpetuated in the name of God. And this series is going to get deeper and deeper. So I hope you guys are along for the ride, because it's going to be long, bumpy, and we're going to be calling some people out. And I'm even examining myself and the things that I've been complicit in my life and the way I've talked and spoken about women and men and children. So this is going to be an interesting eye-opening journey for all of us. And I hope you guys are ready for the ride, because it's going to get bumpy. It has been, like I said, there's been such a distance between the time I last recorded, because I've done a lot of self-reflection, and I'm not here for the mess. I'm not here for the justifications. I'm not here for the lying to ourselves and telling ourselves it's something different than what it is, because we have allowed men, and specifically white men in power, to get away with things that should be prosecuted in the church. And they personally deserve to go to jail. Because sometimes jail is all you need to wake you up to the reality of the sin that you are committing. Sometimes it does require jail and not just financial restitution. Sometimes it requires you to actually go and be in prison and sit there and rot a little bit. So that's my take. That's my piece. And that is the conclusion of the Carl Lynn saga. Join me next time for another episode, and we will be diving into the sins of the church. I'm out.